Nuts and Bolts, podcast about technology, life, philosophy, and everything in between. It is Monday, March 30th, 2020. This is your host, Muskrat, my co-host, Mongoose.
Hey!
Tonight, we discuss the ongoing health crisis that is COVID-19, aka the coronavirus, aka Apocalypse 2020. So this is going to be a little bit different show today because we're all stuck. Well, we're always stuck at home since we live in a shelter bunker, but it is a little bit different because even in the Wisconsin desert, we have a lot of bars around. So it is sad not being able to go out and get a drink. So this is going to be a very informal show. It's probably going to be shorter than the usual episode. And I am going to make my drink right now because I definitely need one. I don't know about you, Mongoose, but my alcohol consumption has been going up slightly during this crisis. So I'm going to make the Americano, a classic Campari drink with a great story that I will not talk about. But all
you
it is...
You can't do that.
Well, all
you
it is...
You can't do that. You got to tell the story now.
Well, I don't know if the full story is here, but the ingredients are equal parts Campari and sweet vermouth. And then it says here 3 ounces of water. So if you're using 1.5 ounces of Campari and sweet vermouth, 3 ounces of soda water or as needed to fill the glass. Garnish with a lemon twist or orange slice. So I've got mandarin oranges. So here I'm going to pour my equal parts. Now, those that are observant listeners might recognize this as close to a Negroni. But a Negroni has gin as well, and no water. So I've never had an Americano, but I will make this a double because it's the apocalypse. Campari is a very, I don't know, you ever had Campari, Mongoose?
Nope.
It is something. Definitely takes some getting used to. It's bitter. It's, some would say it's like a drinkable form of bitters. Not as bitter as bitters, but not as drinkable as like a normal liquor. So I'm curious what this is going to be like. And if I put the jazz interlude in today, I think we'll have to, maybe we'll leave it on for the whole show. Oh, wow. It is, it's bitter. So the only thing I know is the Americano is a gentle introduction to the unusual and bitter taste of Campari. It is a fascinating drink with a long and rich history, and it was the first cocktail mentioned in the James Bond novels. This is an iconic and delightful aperitif that you can enjoy before any meal. So that's my drink. Are you drinking anything this evening, Mongoose?
Yes, I am. I'm drinking hydrogen dioxide.
Uh-huh.
I urge people to drink lots of it. Oh, no. That'd be bad. No, don't do that. I'm drinking dihydrogen oxide.
H2O.
Yes. So, disclaimer. Drinking water. That's the takeaway. It's, yes, drink a lot of water. The best defense is a good offense against this coronavirus.
Yes.
Actually, I meant it the other way. The best offense is a good defense.
That's right. And our superfood challenge is hopefully helping us to fend off any corona we've encountered.
It's been a few weeks now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what do we have to report?
Well, I'm out of my jicama or jicama. I'm going to have to go back. The only store I know that has it is a little bit away from me. So I'll have to journey back out and see if it's sold out. But the good news is during this crisis, as people plunder the stores for goods, they're taking meat and processed foods and not really touching the
produce.
Fruits and vegetables.
Now, I read somewhere that the World Health Organization, or maybe it was the FDA, is suggesting that people wash all their fruits and vegetables with soap and water.
Okay.
I don't know how feasible that is.
That's fine, but as long as it's a non-toxic soap like Dr. Bronner's. But someone told me they actually were telling people to spray their food with Lysol.
Oh my gosh. I would not do that. That's stupid. Add that to the list of Darwin Awards for the coronavirus. In the restaurant business, we used to blanch kale in soapy water because there was a chemical in the soap that would actually bring out the chloroform and make it brighter for the presentation. So anybody that and I don't know how widespread that practice was, but I did it at a few restaurants. It works quite well. I know that you like to eat kale when you go out. So hopefully we rinse it good enough for people like you. But I'll have the occasional kale in a soup when I eat at home.
Yeah.
But aside from that, washing leaf lettuce, first of all, you got to wash your produce, but who's actually scrubbing it down with soap and water? Like bananas? Now I'm all freaked out that the FDA is saying wash your stuff. I got to go and scrub down each banana I get at the store. I don't know. But they make a good point, is that the person stocking those shelves could be a carrier, and they know that the lifetime of the virus can vary anywhere between 4 hours and a couple days, depending on the surface. I think the worst carrier is plastic.
Yes.
Now, that can go for a couple days, whereas organic substances seem to be shorter. Cardboard, for instance, while not completely organic, it is, a wood-based, tree-based material. I think that's only about four hours upwards of a day. So what I do when I get packages in from the delivery person, so I order a lot online right now because I don't want to step outside my protected bunker, is I will sneak out to the mailbox and get the packages, and then I will leave them on a shelf in my bunker for at least a day or two and then unpack them, figuring that the contents inside were probably packed a couple of days before, so by that time they're probably safe to go and handle. Of course, wash your hands. And there's my... and now you know for the day.
Yeah. Well, this crisis, let me tell you, if you weren't doing drugs before, this is probably a good time to start. But don't smoke, because that exacerbates the corona sickness.
And don't take NSAIDs, because some medical chairman out in France said that NSAIDs will actually aggregate the virus.
Does that
and make it aggravate, excuse me, not aggravate. But the FDA, I think, or the World Health, I don't know, CDC said that there's no scientific data to back that up. So we have a disagreement between the French health ministry and some of our medical chiefs here in the U.S.
Yeah. When this was getting started, I heard someone on public radio talking. He was a doctor. And they were talking about the distrust of science, and they were talking about corona, and it came up that people were saying eating onions and garlic can boost your immune system. And he said it's dangerous to be telling people this, because then they will think they can not get infected with corona. And I wish I would have called in. I wouldn't have been able to get in, but I was really annoyed because it's proven that onions and garlic boost immune system. I haven't heard anyone say that garlic and onions will make you immune to coronavirus 100%. But I think it is good advice to tell people that if you eat healthy, it can help you. That doesn't mean that you're never going to get it. And the fact that it's so weird to hear scientists speak out against eating onions and garlic, but yet they don't care about any of the pharmaceutical shit they'll push on you, is one of the reasons why I think so many people distrust science these days, because they see the apparent, it's almost like these people are getting paid by the industry. Like Frito-Lay is giving this guy a check or something.
Well, and that's a lot of these doctors, I hate to say it, are probably, especially the more well-known ones that are published, probably somewhat in the pockets of the food industry or the meat industry.
Yeah, right. So just so everyone's aware, I mean, it's well published that not just onions and garlic, but, eating more fruits and vegetables does help the immune system. It boosts the immune system. It lowers inflammation, yada, yada. We talked about this at the Superfoods show, and we talked about it in the anti-sugar show. Now, again,
and we're going to continue to reinforce it, too.
Right. And we're not saying that means you can't get it. We're saying it helps your immune system. So there's, it's almost like they don't know what nuance is. telling people to eat healthy and exercise does not mean you're invincible. So I don't think anyone's saying that, but you should eat healthy, get off the boxed foods, and I think you'll feel better in the long run.
Oh, like guaranteed. But we talked a little bit last episode about the relationship, or kind of the parallels between eating healthy and what medicine says today versus, you know, back in the 1950s and 60s and smoking, how it took more than 700 studies before, you know, the medical periodicals and medicine in general finally admitted that smoking wasn't good for you. There is a departure between the data and what the public perception is. And I think that's where we're at today, is that medical is still suggesting, hey, low fat diet, whereas we're realizing that it's not really low fat, it's also low sugar, but it's really about eating a plant-based diet, whole grains, fruits, vegetables, you know, to a smaller extent, maybe dairy or some lean meats. But, you know, the thing too that gets me about this coronavirus is not only do some of these foods boost your immune system, we've talked about that, but there is data that and research out there that suggests that certain vegetables contain flavonoids, which will actually regulate the cytokine response, which is the immune system trigger that causes it to battle infection and things like that. So they talk about one of the problems with COVID-19 and the coronavirus is when people get an infection, they start to develop a pneumonia, they get an overreactive immune system, and the cytokines are triggering a response that is both killing both the dead cells and the infected cells that are infected by COVID-19, but also healthy cells. And that's what causes the acute respiratory disorder syndrome, the flooding of the lungs, right, and the death. If you're eating a plant-based diet, you are subjecting yourself to the compounds that are able to not only improve your immune system, but also to regulate its response. So just because you have a good immune system isn't good enough, we need to start considering that food is medicine. And again, we talked about that in depth last episode, but I just want to call that out. I've been doing my best over the last couple of weeks, ever since the last episode, to eat healthy. I've kind of transcended back into some eggs and some, you know, fish, whereas the first probably week and a half, it was all plant-based diet. I've lost weight. I feel good, other than being cramped up in my bunker all the time.
Right.
It makes a difference. It is sometimes a little bit expensive, you know, so I'm still trying to work out the budgetary side of it, but it's definitely worth it. And I have a better state of mind thinking that my immune system's ready to deal with the coronavirus if I get it. So win-win.
Yeah. It's definitely, I think we have a lot to learn from the ancient peoples that, you know, lived on normal food for many years. And we didn't have all these problems until we started eating factory created food. But, you know, the funny part about Florida, we do have to mention some of the corona responses. And I think my favorite is the Florida spring breakers. Now, I wish I was on the beach in Florida being interviewed by one of these news agencies, because I think the best thing that could have been said when they asked these people, aren't you afraid of getting the corona? I wished one of them would have said on camera, so that would have gone viral. Pardon the pun, but, you know, I was coming to spring break, expecting to catch something anyways. So what's a La Corona? I think that would have been great. But what do you know? After they, all wander around the beaches and the bars, cases of corona spiked in Florida and are still spiking. So all these people that also flew there flew back to their homes and are probably infecting more people. Now, I did remember I was jet lagged last episode, so I have already been through an international airport or two, multiple in last month, and I'm expecting that I was exposed to it. I also have a theory that I got corona in January, I think, when I was I had to go make a trip down to Kenosha and I was deathly ill. And at first I thought it was the flu, but it got extremely then I thought it maybe was like a bacterial infection. I did end up getting antibiotics for it, even though the test came out not strep, but my throat was hurt. But what really caught my attention, and something that hasn't happened to me for a long time, is I had a lot of breathing issues. Not like it was hard to breathe, but I had a lot of, you know, phlegm generation. And when I laid down, I had a hard time breathing. I actually slept in a recliner semi-upright for a couple of times. and it was the weirdest sickness ever. About 2 weeks, got better. A week later, I had a slight remission, milder. And I'm wondering if I got the early version of corona, making me immune to the more deadly version.
There's only one way to find out, and that's to do the antibody test. So they have two tests, right? One to detect and determine if you've got the virus. The other one to detect and determine if you have the antibodies that are evidence that you've already been exposed to the virus.
Yeah.
And both tests are kind of behind. I think they're trying to spin it and say that the U.S. is better than most other places in the world as far as their testing, but I have yet to see that. I know that the medical advice right now is if you feel crummy, stay home and deal with it. Unless you can't breathe, then try to come in and we'll see if we need you to offload you to some medical ship. Because the hospitals are it's not funny actually that
there's tents being built outside hospitals to put people in. I don't know if those are for corona patients or non-corona or just to triage people. I have no idea.
Well, I know the military hospital ships, there's one that is arriving in New York momentarily. The other one arrived in LA. They're actually planning on transporting the non-coronavirus patients from the hospitals there and then opening up the hospitals for the coronavirus patients.
Yeah.
And part of me wonders if that's really logistically wise, because now you are taking people that are sick with other conditions out into the public where there's potentially more exposure to coronavirus. But then again, the hospitals are probably ground zero for that stuff right now.
That's a horse apiece. Everything's fucked.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And then you got the whole economic slowdown. And I've been waiting for I was expecting the crash to happen either last year or this year. And I know it's going to get blamed on corona, but I mean, if anyone's been following the stock market, it's been a house of cards for years. The major reason that the stock market has climbed has been almost all, I think it's 80 to 90% stock buybacks. And then, which used to be illegal way back in the day, but they allow that now. And it used to be considered illegal stock manipulation. So these companies had huge amounts of cash, billions of dollars that they just bought their stocks back with, drove up the price. Now the prices are crashing, so they're basically losing that money, and they have less reserve cash to deal with the slowdown in the economy. So now they're going to the government asking for our bailout again. And this is just, I mean, it's comical, if not for such the dire consequences, and how the working class is probably going to get screwed, even with the amount of payouts that they're planning to give, not to everyone, but certain people. And even with those payouts, I don't know if that'll be enough from all the hardship that's going to be happening here. But it's just crazy because this bubble has been building since 2008, the last bubble, and we never really fixed the problems in the underlying economy. And then what do you know? We have supply shortages because everything is made in China. And even our medicine has ingredients and or the full medication is made in China. So we can't even get medication. Like, there's no companies in America that I know, maybe there's like one, that's doing antibiotics. So we rely on foreign places to create the meds to bring back to us, even though they're American companies that are using these foreign entities. And we have no domestic way to respond to this. And this is why I don't understand how people cannot be more upset at why we don't mandate. If a corporation doesn't want to make products here, then the government has to come in and just do it themselves. They can go to the universities or something and say, hey, corporations aren't doing it for us, so now we're going to mandate that we have a certain stockpile of medication made domestically. Because I see this as a strategic failure.
Probably.
Yeah, ventilators, et cetera, everything.
Well, I mean, they had plenty of opportunities to try and respond better, and the response has been poor. So,
yeah,
either it's just a complete breakdown of the bureaucracy because, you know, it's such a convoluted mess that it's bound to fail, or it was orchestrated.
Yeah, probably a combination of both. This helps the rich.
They need population control.
Well, there's that too.
You know, because the world's only so big, and you know, we don't have enough natural resources to sustain it in the long term. So we keep Africa impoverished, or some of those countries and other countries around the world, maybe. And eventually, though, then you got to start thinking bigger. Either it's going to be a world war, or it's going to be a disease that's going to wipe a lot of people out. And that's a little bit conspiratorial, but makes you wonder. You got to think about that. I mean, think logistics on a worldwide scale. You know, there's people pulling the strings. There's probably something like that going on.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is what we get. for years of this shit, and keeping people impoverished. Interesting, if you believe in the ultra conspiracy, that Africa has kind of been reserved as like this this kind of playground where we get to steal resources from, but we don't want them to actually, you know, become a independent, powerful set of nations on their own. So we always make sure that we seem to be always meddling in Africa for some reason, and support and prop up certain warlords in the areas that will do our bidding. So yeah, this is a modern life, and the aliens might come and wipe us all out someday. I don't know, when they get sick of this.
Well, I'm of the opinion that the aliens just have a dome around the Earth, and they're suppressing our technology, making sure that we can't travel outside of our solar system at the very most, or at least, you know, they probably just think we're so stupid that they've just blacklisted us. We're not allowed to progress beyond a certain stage of evolution, and at some point we'll just destroy ourselves, and then they'll wipe it out and start over with some other race and see if that works out.
Yeah, probably true. There is interesting discussions going on about how our livestock practices help to create these super plagues, and that just like the 1918 flu might have came from, you know, domestic animals, pigs and whatever. This one probably came from similar situations in China. And by the way, the Spanish flu of 1918, there's strong evidence that it actually originated in Kansas, but got the Spanish name because they were more vocal about it and allowed their media to talk about it more. And then it became associated with Spaniards, and you know, they were spreading it supposedly. But the coronavirus, though, with being so close to animals, and keeping them such close quarters, and then nowadays we shove them full of antibiotics, which, you know, weakens their immune system anyways, whether they need them or not. We just keep the disease system growing exponentially within them. And because humans and animals are working so close together, it's much more, easily for the bacteria, the virus, whatever, to break out of that, organism and become cross, you know, able to infect humans as well as pigs or whatever. And, you know, pigs are one of those things, the swine flu, right? Where it can get like, what is it? It can get human diseases, it can get bird diseases, and they can mix and then go back to the human. It's even worse than ever because the human's not expecting anything like it. So all of our practices seem to be unsustainable. And it's almost like we do things the worst way possible in terms of nature to maximize profit.
Yeah, and then as long as we're on the conspiratorial side of things, it makes me wonder too if they were playing around with there's the whole scientific breakthrough a while back that said that there may be a way to engineer viruses to potentially seek out and destroy cancer. Mm-hmm, you know, so yeah. Maybe they were playing with some type of super virus that they could, you know,
right?
Maybe. You know, stuff like that can get out of hand real fast, you know, and viruses can mutate. So then also there was a group of conspiracy theorists going around who were suggesting that 5G had a part to mm-hmm. play in this. Now, you know how much I hate 5G.
Yes.
But there was a correlation between the amount of 5G testing that China was doing in and around the area of Wuhan mm-hmm. around the time that the coronavirus broke out. And then they suppressed, or I should say they pushed back and they deferred some of their, I guess you could say go live, some of their, you know, they were basically planning on switching some of the infrastructure over to 5G at one point. And then some of that they deferred just because how bad the coronavirus stuff got out there. But there's actually a website you can go out there and you can look on a map. There's not a ton of 5G infrastructure in the city or the city of Wuhan, I think it was, or at least the province. But in those metro areas, there are 5G cell towers in operation. And from my understanding, that was one of the bigger areas. China is really kind of on the forefront of 5G testing, potentially leading the rest of the world as far as some of that's going. So maybe some of their testing has something to do with it. Again, we talked in the 5G episode about how the millimeter waves from the 5G transmissions can potentially alter the
cellular
structure, biological composition of bacteria, microorganisms, and even viruses. So that research is factual. It was done. Yes. And potentially that's how this this virus became a super virus.
Yeah, possibly. Helps the mutation. Engineers of our own destruction.
Yep, it's like HARP.
Right.
5G is the laser weapon that the Atlanteans probably blew everything up with and destroyed their civilization.
Yeah, now HARP was using ELF, extremely low frequency. These would be using extremely high millimeter wave technology. Now, I don't know how – I don't know what – because 5G covers lots of spectrum. So I don't know if Wuhan was using the millimeter technology or not, but they are pushing 5G a lot, and it's annoying. We probably have to do another follow up on that, but I just hate how people think like, oh, 5G is the next thing, as if like, you know, there's something that's going to solve for us. But again, we already talked about that, and we can revisit it. But it's very annoying to me. Now, the other part of this is the human reaction, the commoner's reaction to the crisis. I know this has been amusing you, Mongoose.
Yeah, so what about on March 25th, or thereabouts, that's when the story broke, I believe, about the guy who ingested fish tank cleaner?
I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, so this is a Phoenix area couple. They were in their 60s, and they decided to take chloroquine phosphate, which is essentially fish tank cleaner or tablets, or maybe even the stuff that you put in your fish tank to rid your fish of ick, which is a
Was that because of the chloroquine thing that... or quinine, well, or whatever the
it was talking about. Hydrochloroquine, which is what Trump had mentioned in one of his speeches, and I didn't hydroxychloroquine. Apparently these people, you know, didn't understand that you can't just go to the pet store and buy fish tablets and then eat them. I thought, hey, this is going to protect me from the you know, the coronavirus. I mean, the hydroxychloroquine was something that it was a malaria, I believe, medication. It was quite effective. And there is research, I think, that they suggest it could be effective against the coronavirus.
Preliminary. So when China was having this massive outbreak, they were in the mode of try, you know, multiple things. And there's an old medication. So quinine is an ancient remedy. I don't know if I'd call it ancient, but was discovered during, was it the 1800s or earlier? For malaria treatment. Now, they created a drug version of it, which is that, I don't know if it's the hydroxychloroquine or whatever you were calling it.
Hydroxychloroquine?
Yeah, like if you were to go to the store and get a prescription, it would be that. Quinine is the actual thing that goes in tonic water. And if you buy good tonic water, it actually has real quinine in it. Most tonic water doesn't. But the amounts are so low, it wouldn't be a malaria treatment. You'd have to get, you know, the powdered form and you could take it. But this is the medical version of it, which is probably taking out a certain chemical of the quinine and adding hydrogen or whatever to make it the hydroxy, whatever. So did they die from taking the medication or did the corona kill them?
Yeah, so within 30 minutes of taking it, it says that the couple began suffering side effects that required admission to a health hospital nearby. Let's see. The hospital was informed the couple took at least a couple days' worth of normal dosing of chloroquine phosphate as a preventative agent against COVID-19. I don't know what a normal dosing of a poisonous substance would be. But apparently the woman, at least at that time, the story broke, was in critical condition. The husband died.
Jeez.
I assume that they got to her and were able to pump her stomach out or something like that or neutralize the toxin. Whereas with him, he probably just reacted too quickly and probably had heart failure, or organ failure. But don't you like when you take stuff, like, don't you scrutinize it? You know, like even if it comes from the doctor, like I take my medication and I research my medications. And in some cases, I will have a conversation with my doctor as to why I don't actually like a medication or think that I should be on it. Like I was always told, and my doctor, I've discussed this with him, I think people have to be their best advocates for their health, you know, because you're going in and you're seeing a doctor, maybe a primary physician who's seeing, you know, 10 to 20 people a day, at least five days a week, and then putting in extra time for emergency on call at the hospital potentially. You know, so they run a a very rigorous job. That's some reason why sometimes these doctors, they're quick in, quick out of the room. They don't have the opportunity to really, you know, mull over your chart every day, like 24/7. You know, they're giving it a quick glance. So you got to be in charge of that.
Yeah. So a couple questions. Do you think she's going to vote for Trump?
If she still has mental faculties, well, then again, that begs the question, if she was a Trump supporter, did she even have any mental faculties in the first place? Yeah, like, again, disclaimer, I think both I hate the Democrats, too. So that's me. But political joke,
you know,
jokes aside, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, so for people like you and me, when we hear, you know, morons talking out loud at and on, you know, at the White House or anywhere, we like to laugh it off and just, you know, whatever. Maybe we'll do a Google search and research the drug. I immediately knew the drug, although, like I said, I'm used to the name just quinine, which is the plant-based whatever. So we laugh that stuff off. But this whole Trump phenomenon has actually taught me quite a bit. It has taught me that there are a lot of people, maybe not a majority, there are too many people that will just listen to any moron that is famous or powerful. So this brings up a couple of quotes. First of all, one quote does not relate to this, but two of my favorite quotes of any musical song, one that's pertinent to this topic, one that's not. So I'll give you the Zeppelin one, which is not necessarily pertinent, but the pain of war cannot exceed the woe of aftermath, which is a good quote. Thoughtful. And the one that's pertinent to this from Dylan is don't follow leaders and watch the parking meters. So if you are the type of person that likes to be led, I get it. Okay, you want to be a sheep. You don't think you're a sheep, but you just like the fact that there's a powerful guy telling you what to do. All I can tell you is that doesn't lead to many good things in life. You must make your own destiny. And if someone can convince you to take a drug, and you go and find that there is a, because you just said there was something phosphate, which is not the actual medical drug that would be given to someone. So they didn't even do all of their research, obviously.
No, they saw part of the name probably on the box. They saw a fish swimming through some seaweed on the front of the yellow box. They're like, oh, they can treat fish too. Yeah. Sweet.
And this also has to tell, this also says something else about their psychology. Were they so afraid of getting corona that they thought this was a good alternative? Or were they so supportive of Trump that they thought, well, fuck yeah, this'll do it? Or was it a combination? All I can say is, people, you need to get your own brains. You can't rely on someone else's brain. You just can't.
Well, there is still, I mean, break it down generationally. I mean, we're Generation X, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe I just doxed ourselves here.
I identify as Gen X. Yeah.
Yeah, but
well, there's dispute.
I hate it when people say I identify with. Right.
Well, there's dispute of when it started. So I'm going to say I identify as Gen X, whether or not, whatever. Sure.
But generally speaking, the farther, I guess, the older you get, you're talking about like the boomer generation, and then even more so the greatest generation, the World War II generation, that's not a lot with us. A lot of those people are dying off, unfortunately. There's more trust in the government, you know. So these people were in their 60s. They're boomers. And I think there's a good demographic of the boomer generation that is that really takes their government at face value and wants to believe, you know, whether they really truly believe it or not, they want to believe. Because life's just simpler when the government's out there to help you, you know. And so when they see somebody like Trump, and if they're Trump supporters, you know, they may think that Trump wouldn't say this if he, you know, unless he really knew it to be true, and I can trust my president, you know. And next thing you know, you're sleeping with the fishes.
Yeah, well, and eating what they eat. But the thing is, I hope he didn't have any ick on him when he died. But the thing is if you think Trump is someone to be listened to, then there's probably not much help for you. But the distrust of government, most people don't trust the government, but somehow see him as someone to follow. And I think we just need to be done with this shit. Everyone needs to do their own research. And I just don't know how to stress that enough. That doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to experts, because see, there's this big anti-science move. And then there are those doctors, like I told you at the beginning of the show, that get mad at that. Now, we shouldn't be anti-science, but that doesn't mean you trust any willy-nilly guy talking to you, right? It's called trust but verify, right? Reagan made that famous, which I can't stand. But, you know, if you trust someone, do you always take them at face value? You're still going to look it up, I would hope. You can't just go and do things that someone tells you to do. There are people that were drinking. You heard about this, right? Drinking or just rinsing their mouth with bleach. I can't remember. And to kill the coronavirus. Okay, I got two solutions for you. Okay, number one, I don't know how anyone would think drinking bleach is okay. If you want to drink a disinfectant, alcohol is a natural disinfectant. And if it's ethanol, you know, the stuff that you consume in liquor, why don't you just take some straight whiskey? So I don't understand why you'd turn to bleach. Okay, so let's use our chemistry knowledge. Humans and bacteria have a symbiotic relationship of creating alcohol, a substance which can kill us, but in moderation can make us feel buzzed. At the same time, you could use it to kill Corona in your mouth. If you had like, I don't know, I would guess you'd have to get like straight barrel strength bourbon, 60%.
Or for fuck's sake, just take some mouthwash. You'll feel fresh afterwards too.
Right. There's many options is what I'm saying, Mongoose. And in addition to that, we also need to realize that killing all bacteria is actually not good. As we've talked about in the past, part of eating a healthy diet increases the health of your gut biome, which is really the defense system. It's your primary defense before your immune system gets involved. As a matter of fact, they found out that the gut biome can signal to your immune system when there are bad pathogens spreading. So you don't want to kill everything. That was what when we first discovered germs, we thought that you had to kill them all. And we thought no bacteria was the best policy. And now we're finding out that we actually don't want to sterilize everything. And you want to keep the good bacteria. So bleach would be bad on many levels, because not only does it kill bacteria, it kills your cells. And if you drink it, it does a lot more damage. So,
well, not only that, but it can also permeate the skin and cause blindness, you know, shit like that. I mean, this right. Just I don't advocate that anybody do this, but if you were to go, and I've known people who have had this happen where they, without any protective gear, they take a complete solution of bleach and they start cleaning something. And then if you inhale too much of that and you deal with it too much on your hands, not only is it going to make your hands hurt, but you are potentially going to go blind. And if you're lucky, it's only temporary, but it can cause blindness, you know? So, I mean, don't put that shit in your mouth.
Yeah.
You fucking stupid? No. You know, other options, like we talked about Manuka honey, it's got antiviral, antibacterial properties, you know, and they've, even though it's got such a high sugar content, it's so high in sugar, it actually kills the bacteria. So it's actually an approved medical treatment for gingivitis. Just go and take a teaspoon of Manuka honey at your highest Manuka factor. And then just kind of switch that around a little bit. It's good for gum health. You wouldn't think of it because it's so damn sweet, so full of sugar, but it's natural. You know, so like, don't put bleach in your mouth. I can't believe people are so stupid.
Yeah.
You know, right now, like the Palestinians, they're going out and, you know, they're getting into their massive crowds you always see on TV burning American flags. And website IsraeliCool.com was citing an article in Middle East Monitor, a news publication out there, saying that the Arab League Today has called on international community to urge Israeli authorities to release Palestinian detainees in Israeli jails. So when they were let out, all the Palestinians during the corona outbreak got together and started jumping on flags and stuff. And so now that coronavirus is spreading out there. Meanwhile, a TikTok social media influencer, her name is Ava Louise, is 22.
Influencer.
Who's twice appeared on the Dr. Phil show.
Oh, shit.
She boasts 22,000 TikTok followers, around 162,000 on Instagram. She started the coronavirus challenge in which she was originally shown kneeling in front of a plane's toilet seat before running her tongue across it.
What? What the fuck was that for?
So apparently she's urging people to lick things out in public to try and get the coronavirus and then see if you can beat it.
Wait, that's the challenge?
That is the challenge. I'm going to tell you something. She licked a plane's toilet seat.
So let me tell you something. The coronavirus probably is not on the plane's seat. There's probably a lot of other things there, but not the coronavirus.
Yeah. She's Mark's probably got herpes on her tongue now. She probably already had herpes.
She probably cleaned it. She probably disinfected it.
Meanwhile, there are coronavirus parties raging all across the nation.
Yep.
What are they doing? Reported in, let's see, this is 5 days ago on CNN broke, probably broke on a different news media outlet, but CNN's reporting that at least one person in Kentucky is infected after taking part in a coronavirus party with a group of young adults.
Mm.
And also, here's another example. There was one in New Jersey, too. So, yeah, a lot of people deciding to go get together and stay in close proximity, defy the 6-foot order and party like it's 1999. Yeah.
Well, there, you know, I've got two minds of that. So I was at a undisclosed cocktail party recently, and my justification was it was with people that I had been in close proximity with within a week. So before the hardcore lockdown took effect. So I didn't really, you know, I wasn't too concerned, but, and it was not many people. Like, I'm not going to name it. I'm not going to name the names or the numbers just to be extra vague, but it was a very low key event. You know, it was a sparse, population. We weren't like tight together or anything like that. And it was a few cocktails and then home, close to my desert hideout. But, you know, I get it to an extent, but if it's a corona party that's like a rave or something like that, that's kind of interesting because that seems a little bit risque. And I guess it's hard to take the virus seriously, especially if you're young. So there was a 17-year-old that died, but I don't know. And they backed off. The originally was a corona diagnosis, but then they backed off saying that we're not sure yet what he died of. They were going to do some more investigation. I haven't heard the updates yet, but he was 17. And then I think that's the same guy that went to an urgent care, got denied because he didn't have health care. And then they told him to go to a public hospital and he ended up dying that same day.
That was the case out in California, right?
Maybe. Yeah. So
it broke like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, something like
that. Yeah. Now the initial story I've heard is he didn't have any underlying health conditions, but I don't know. Now, do you have any update on that?
Well, first of all, on social media, there's a lot of people going out there trying to, you know, whether it be bot activity, because there's always a lot of bot activity out in social media sites, but, or just people that maybe are, you know, a little conspiratorial. A lot of people suggesting that this is overblown, and that we really don't have a lot to worry about, but the figures of the people dying, I think, are enough. And I think the main takeaway about this is that you have to, and it's like the message the CDC is trying to put out there, the World Health Organization, is that you should treat yourself like you are contagious so that you don't infect other people. So right. It's not about yourself necessarily. It's about protecting the other people, because there is, I think, a correlation between underlying, you know, medical conditions and perhaps the severity. I know that there's also studies that suggest that people with type O blood are more immune because they already have some natural antibodies or resistance to the coronavirus. So there may be specific blood types that are more susceptible to it. But they're trying to recommend that anybody who's a young person doesn't think of themselves as immune or immortal. You know, I think right. That's just the way we feel when we're kids, right? We think that we can conquer the world, we'll live forever. And as you get older, reality starts to set in. But
yeah, that the 1918 flu was famous because it killed healthy and young, and not so much the old, et cetera. And for people that talk about the flu being so bad, so the death rates are higher from what we know, but of course we don't have full testing. So, you know, some of this we're in the dark with, but from what we know, that death rate is higher than the flu, but the spread rate is crazy. And the fact that it can shed for up to 2 weeks is kind of crazy to me before showing symptoms, up to, not always. But you could be actually shedding for 2 weeks a virus that you don't feel anything from. So think
right.
about that.
And they haven't determined why the people, some people, because the mean time to symptoms is 5.5 days. The soonest they've seen anybody with symptoms is 2 days. and the max I think is between 14 and 19. But they're seeing a very small subset of people, like the people that are out on cruise ships that would come back and they would be they wouldn't exhibit symptoms for another 2 weeks. It'd be up for upwards of 14 days, right? They're suggesting that those people might have been double exposed, and I'm not sure about the scientific rationale of that, but potentially people that are double exposed and get infected multiple times, that for some reason that might it might stall the onset of symptoms.
That's weird.
I have to look more into that, but that's something I've read.
Well, you know, there was a good, there's a guy on YouTube that's saying, stay the fuck at home, written by a different guy. So I've been trying to spread that around. So that was fun. Reprieve from our daily monotony of sitting in the house and just taking walks randomly. But the thing about this whole situation, it is very annoying. I can't stand just hanging out at home and almost everything's closed. You can go pick curbside delivery, or you can get, you know, cars to deliver stuff to you. But otherwise, you can't go out and just get you can't just walk down to the bar and grab a beer and come back. Chinese places are closed, which is weird. Well, maybe they're afraid of people being, you know, racist, because for some reason, sometimes people are getting like lashing out at a Chinese guy like he did something. Doesn't make any sense to me. But there have been people that have been attacked for this. I'm growing a beard, a quarantine beard or a corona beard, whatever you want to call it. Now, Mongoose had suggested that the beard might allow the corona to stick to my face. My reaction to that was, if corona's on your face, you've already lost. And two, if you shave, you might break the skin and get corona. So that's my,
yes, yeah,
that's
I, my theory. I shaved about, I think, 4 days ago, and I wish I hadn't, because I looked like a freaking dork. So I'm trying to grow it back now. I shouldn't have done that. But you get bored. You do stupid things when you are, on quarantine.
Yeah, this is.
And then there is. The Florida man, his name's Justin Black, this broke a day ago. He threatened to blow up the Orlando Police Department because the coronavirus was putting people out of work.
Well, what's the police doing about it? Why was that the...
Well, he called 911 yesterday, a couple days ago, 7:15, called the Orlando Police Department, said, I'm going to blow up the Orlando Police Department. I'm going to blow up the 7-Eleven. I'm going to blow up... There was a car wash, the caller said, according to the Orlando Sentinel. The bomb threat was made about 2 hours after Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer announced a countywide stay-at-home order. The caller would not give his name or his location to the dispatcher, according to the Sentinel. When you hear explosions, just know I warned y'all first.
Okay.
Just know the coronavirus. Y'all want to put people out of work? Yeah. I'm going to put some people out of work, the caller said. Have a good night. So police were able to trace the phone call to a post office that was across the street from the police headquarters.
Oh, my gosh.
And ultimately, they traced the guy and tracked him down, and now he's under arrest.
What was his justification for just because you thought they were the ones to blame for closing everything down?
He said he had four bombs, and it was all because the mayor issued a stay-at-home order. So that guy's going out of his mind, and we still got another month to go. So by the time we do our next podcast, we're going to still be under this stay-at-home order. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, this is just fucked up. So people are taking it. People are taking it well, you're saying.
Yeah, so far, relatively. Like Justin Black from Orlando, not so much. But
he should have gone down and hung out with the Spring Breakers. I think that would have been a good time.
Yep. Anyway, folks, I got to step away and get myself my dinner because it's getting cold. It'll take me 3 minutes to wolf it down. I'll be right back.
Okay, I'm going to make a drink. And we're back. Packets and Bolts, Monday, March 30th, 2020. Apocalypse 2020. COVID-19. Corona. Corona time. So, Mongoose, you had your meal. I made another drink. And I'm growing a beard, and we're living at the end times. So, in other news, I did want to mention a few things that are on the horizon, if the world lasts. I am pricing out my new PC build. And interesting note, with the crash of some of the economic systems, it has dropped $300 in the prices since the last time I checked pricing about a month or two ago. So that's good.
Collectively for everything or just?
Just over, like, overall, $300 price drop. I'm not sure. I think the CPU went down, and I'm pricing on AMD system. And I think I'm going to try Manjaro for Linux. And I really am not liking Windows 10. I think we know about the how much I hate Windows 10. And I've just found out that if you install the latest version of Windows 10, so I have an install copy that's older, so it doesn't do this. But if you were to download the latest install of Windows 10 and you do the Home Edition, not the Pro, it will try, and you're connected online when it installs, it will not let you create a local user account. You'd have to create a, you'd have to sign in with a Microsoft account first, then transition it back into local later. If you have the Pro Edition, it'll let you do some crazy shit to get it, but I'm just getting very annoyed at how they're trying to push you towards this online setup, and it's making Windows seem less and less like a real operating system to me. It's almost like they're just trying to create an Android for the desktop, and I don't want Android for the desktop. You know, I want my system is my system, and I'm getting, we'll have to do a whole show on how much I hate Windows, but this is going to be Linux, the year of Linux for me. I mean, I've used Linux in the past. I used to do it a lot more. I've been off of it for a while, but everyone's telling me Manjaro is the shit, so I'm going to give it a try. I usually do Slackware. Actually, I contributed to Patrick from, you know, Slackware, the Slackware project. Patrick has a Patreon, and I suggest anyone that likes to keep the system going to go to his Patreon. And you know, make him a donation, because he has, you know, he is the sole, well, there is a team, there is a project team, but Patrick Volkerding is the main guy, and it's the longest running, the oldest living Linux distribution, I think second to Debian. And he needs, you know, as much support as possible. So I'm now a monthly contributor to his lifestyle. But for now, I'm going to take a break from Slackware and try Manjaro. So I don't know if you've used Manjaro, Mongoose.
No, I'm pretty vanilla when it comes to my Linux operating systems. It's usually just Ubuntu or Linux Mint I've run in the past. I actually had my mom running Linux Mint for a while, which was pretty progressive. But first, there's the Kali Linux, which I bricked an old router I had at home. I had to go buy a new one because I was hacking my home network and I bricked it.
You booted the router to Kali?
No. I had a machine that I was basically just running scanning exploits against my home network. And then this looks interesting. It can attack a router. And then I bricked my router.
Must have been old code.
That was a shitty Linksys router.
Oh.
One of the home routers I got.
So wait, how long did your mom run Linux? And how did she like it?
She didn't like it, but she's so worried about breaking things that she really only does like the basics.
Mm-hmm.
So like, this is around the time, I don't remember what the circumstances were that got me, that had me install that, but basically I didn't want to mess around. I didn't have a pirated version of Windows. I could have found one easily, but I didn't want to deal with all the, oh, you don't have a registration key bullshit. I was like, hey mom, try this. So I threw Mint on there, which is very aesthetically pleasing. It always has been an operating system like that. And I showed her, what was it, Thunderbird for like email, and I had Firefox running on there. And so I had her running that stuff. And that's what, like, basically all she does is like she'll hop on like some, you know, websites like with her browser. She'll send emails, and that was about it. So she ran it with, you know, not many problems, but she wasn't exactly a power user. So,
yeah.
Then they ended up getting a new computer, and so got her back on a Windows machine at that point.
Hmm. Yeah, Windows 10 is trash. I can't stand it. It's bad. So, unfortunately, it looks like it's just getting worse, just the way they're making decisions. But I'm hoping that this will turn out great if Manjaro is as good. I've heard that you can break Manjaro installs pretty easily with updates and stuff. I don't know, but I also heard another source that said they're getting more stable, so we'll see. Otherwise, I might go back to Slackware, but it's been a while. So thing about Slack, whereas it's just more closer to real Linux, and you have to learn all the Linux ways of doing things. It doesn't give you a lot of proprietary tools for, you know, all the different automated tasks that the new Linux distros usually give you. But Manjaro comes with a whole bunch of systems to get you into gaming. I don't really game much, but my son does. And I actually want to see him play some of his Windows games on Linux, because I know that it's getting easier and easier to do. Back in the day, I used Wine to play StarCraft.
Right. Yep.
And it actually ran more smooth on my old-ass computer, which I had played StarCraft on. But it ran better with Wine than it did on my Windows 98.
So yeah, Wine was good. Wine was good shit.
Yeah. And now it's more, you know, refined, et cetera. And, you know, the Vulkan API is out. Then they got, like, Proton, which helps to, you know, make compatibility layers for different Windows shit. I just wish developers would stop this Windows crap and, you know, move more towards Vulkan, become multi-platform, and really start shifting the focus to Linux, and just so we can finally say goodbye to Windows for good. And, you know, in terms of has Linux versus Windows won? Linux won years ago. I mean, Linux is powering the world. Phones, servers, etc. It's just the desktop. And in desktop land, it's Macintosh and Windows. And if you look at Macs, they're running Unix. So, you know, you can't just say Windows won. You know, it's really a battle between Mac, Windows, and Linux is trying to come back. But, you know, Mac took, you know, a stable system, Linux, Unix, and built all of the, you know, user-friendly shit into it and proprietary garbage, and made it, you know, what I consider a horrible, horrible Play-Doh UI, where, you know, if you want to be a power user, it's, you know, you got to dig for shit. But Windows is, you know, one of the things that I can't stand about Windows 10 is they're just hiding, they're trying to hide a lot of shit, like the Macintosh world. And they're trying to push you into this app store crap and give you bloatware and spy on you and telemetry. And it's just, I don't know, it's just too much. It's too much.
Yeah, actually, they're selling a version of the Windows 10 operating system right now that, off the top of my head, I can't remember what it's called, but you're logged down and restricted to only using the Windows app store to install programs. And you can disable that pretty easily, but you have to run some commands that, you know, the less computer literate people are probably not going to know how to do, and probably would have a lot of pain just trying to read a web page trying to tell them how to do it.
That's not so right.
They're forcing people to the App Store. It's such a pile of shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. There's a lot of rants out there that if they ever actually force only installs through the App Store, they will sign their death warrant, because one of the few things that's keeping people on Windows other than games, which again, game developers, you need to get out of the Windows ethos, because you're just enabling this bloated piece of shit to continue. But the ability to install anything you want, you know, viruses, you know, legit software, etc., is still a usable feature of Windows. And you can even install like old 32-bit shit. You can, you know, they do backwards compatibility. Not all the way back, but, you know, you can even try to do like compatibility to the early, you know, 1990s and shit, and sometimes people can get it to run. But the point is they do maintain this backwards compatibility. They let you install just about anything. You can program to the bare metal. If they do curated apps only with the App Store and really try to lock users out of just installing whatever they want, they're really going to get rid of one major reason that you'd even try to run Windows. You know, it's like a user-friendly way to shoot yourself in the foot, Windows. And that comes with strengths and weaknesses. So, and that's one of the reasons why I think there's so many, you know, it's so prolific for app development. Because you can just do whatever the fuck you want. And it can be malicious. It can be, you know, good. You can technically do that with Linux. But there's more structure around coding for Linux. And if you do make shitty software, you know, no one's going to use your shit. Whereas in Windows, you can make shitty software that people actually use. I don't know what that tells you. User base issue. I don't know. But there is, you know, that there's so much freedom and there's enough people that will use shitty software in Windows land that it keeps people going. If you go to the App Store only, you kind of defeat some of that freedom. So we'll see how that goes. But I know Windows wants you to use the App Store for everything. So I don't know. Microsoft, I should say. So I don't know. Now, there's no Hank. There's no commercial break today. There was just a brief pause where we had to take a break, and I made a drink, and Mongoose got some snacks. I'm not even going to do user... I'm not going to do listener emails, but packetsandbolts@gmail.com. This is a very abbreviated show. I'm going to decide later if I'm going to put the background jazz music for the mixed drink or maybe throughout the whole episode this time. I don't know. But any other strange reactions to Corona that you got there, Mongoose?
Well, one thing I wanted to do is I wanted to kind of go through the World Health Organization's list of myths.
Ooh, okay.
A little public service announcement from the World Health Organization, from Muskrat and Mongoose to you.
PSA.
So, COVID-19 can be transmitted in areas with hot and humid climates. So, it's all areas. It's the entire fucking planet. Basically, regardless of climate, adopt protective measures if you live in or travel to an area reporting COVID-19, which is pretty much the entire known face of the planet. So, that makes sense? All right.
So it can be transmitted in humid?
Yeah, so there was a report, and I mean, I loosely use that that term report. This is a bunch of people that were saying that, hey, look, the coronavirus may not be as strong, I guess, is in hotter and warmer climates than it is in colder climates. Mm-hmm. So there was some misinformation out there suggesting that, hey, if you're out there in the tropics, you're probably going to be safe from coronavirus. It can't spread. The sun is going to bake it, destroy it. That's not a fact.
So to be fair, sunlight does disinfect. However, for that to happen, I believe it's 3 to 5 minutes of direct sunlight. So the way this is spread is through particulates and, you know, droplets, right? So sneeze, cough, et cetera, it's going to land on you. Unless you're sitting in the sun for 3 to 5 minutes, there's not really much chance for the sun to disinfect it. Things like the flu do go away during the summer months. Not entirely sure why, but we don't know if Corona is going to be like that.
Yeah, and I'd urge people to get outside and, like, walk around or whatever. Don't just stay hidden in your little bunker like we do. Just because you need to social distance or stay at home doesn't mean you can't take a walk. Just right. Avoid people. I told my parents they should probably take a broomstick along with them to shoo away people that they make.
Doing that.
Yeah, it's probably smart. You know, get a 6-foot broomstick and, you know, prod and jostle people if they get too close to you on the sidewalk. But yeah, get outside because the sunlight is going to give you some vitamins.
Yes.
That are helpful to boosting your immune system. So,
correct. Vitamin D, sun exposure.
Yep. All right. Myth number two, cold weather and snow cannot kill the new coronavirus. And similarly to the last one, that's actually a fact. There's no reason to believe that cold weather can kill the new coronavirus or other diseases.
I thought it was a myth.
Well, I think this is just kind of fact or fiction, this website is.
Okay.
So, yes, the most effective way to protect yourself against the new coronavirus is by frequently cleaning your hands with alcohol-based hand rub or washing them with soap and water, with the latter being more effective. That doesn't save you from inhaling the virus particulates, so keep your distance.
Body condom.
Number three, taking a hot bath does not prevent the new coronavirus disease. So that is also a fact. Apparently, people thought that if you take hot baths, that will cure the coronavirus.
It might make you feel
I
better.
Don't know any virus that gets cured if you, maybe if you boil yourself and...
Cook yourself.
200-degree Fahrenheit temperatures. You'll cook yourself off the bone, but you'll get the virus too. I don't recommend that. We do not support that action at packets right. and bolts.
But, right.
Yeah, your normal body temperature remains around 36.5 to 37 degrees Celsius, regardless of the temperature of your bath or shower, and that's where the virus lives inside your body, so don't be stupid. The new coronavirus some people thought that mosquitoes could transmit the coronavirus. The fact is that the new coronavirus cannot be transmitted through mosquito bites.
Well, score so at one least for based mosquitoes.
On, what's that?
Score one for mosquitoes, finally. They need a break.
Yeah, normally they transmit just about everything else, but this time I guess there's not enough data. So today there's been no information nor evidence to suggest that the new coronavirus could be transmitted by mosquitoes.
Okay.
It's a respiratory virus which spreads primarily through droplets generated when an infected person coughs or sneezes, or through droplets of saliva or discharge from the nose. We all knew that, right?
Yes.
Someone asked, are hand dryers effective in killing the new coronavirus? So plug in your hair dryer and put it on the highest setting and blow away the damn virus.
Spread it around.
No, hand dryers are not effective in killing the 2019 nCoV virus, which is what causes the coronavirus. To protect yourself, you should frequently clean your hands. So hand dryers may reduce the transmission.
Might spread
it. So I think they're talking about the ones in the restroom. Should go and hit.
I would be worried they spread it.
Yeah. Touching the button. I always worry about that. You know, you wash your hands in the public restroom and then you got to open the damn door.
Yeah, it sucks.
That's why you got to get proficient in kicking the door open.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually not one that opens from the inside out. You have to hook the door handle with your foot and do a spinning wheel kick. But practice that in your restrooms. Make sure nobody's within 6 feet because you'll knock them out with your spinning wheel kick, as well as potentially infect them, or they'll infect you. Moving on. Someone asked, can an ultraviolet disinfection lamp kill the new coronavirus?
Yes,
and the World Health Organization suggests that's possible, but UV lamps should not be used to sterilize hands or other areas of skin, as UV radiation can cause skin irritation. So they're worried about your the dryness of your skin versus potentially killing the virus.
Right.
I don't know about you, Muskrat. If I got a UV lamp, I'm going to bathe in that shit.
Well, you know, it's kind of an efficient way of doing it. So when you can either wash your hands or stick under a UV light, I'd rather wash my hands.
But just you can get your vitamin D from that UV light.
I'd rather do sunlight.
True.
Yeah.
No electric bills with the sunlight.
And it's safer. Tanning beds are a known case of skin cancer where sun is depends. True. If you get baked, I guess. But yeah.
All right. So this one hits close to home. My current place of employment is commissioning people to. You got somebody at your door?
I do not. Why did you hear something?
Oh, I heard a knock.
Oh, maybe my I shifted.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Sorry about that. Anyway, my current place of employment is has hired people to stand at the entrances and scan people coming into the building to see if they have a fever. The World Health Organization says thermal scanners are effective in detecting people who have a fever, but they cannot detect people who are infected or not yet sick with fever. We all know by now that you can transmit the coronavirus pre-symptomatic. So you may be a carrier. Just another evidence that my current employer is retarded. Good riddance. Can spraying alcohol or chlorine all over your body kill the new coronavirus? Or bleach in your mouth, for instance? No, spraying alcohol or chlorine all over your body will make you sick, and it will not kill viruses that have already entered your body. And take that one step further. Do not drink ethyl alcohol or chlorine. It will kill you.
Well,
the viruses live inside.
Ethanol is, as long as it's not pure, that's, you know, isopropyl is the bad stuff.
That's true, yes. Don't drink that shit. And stuff you buy and you put on your open wounds.
Yeah, rubbing
manuka alcohol. Honey on your open wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be the high enough manuka factor.
Yes.
Do vaccines against pneumonia protect you against the new coronavirus? No. Vaccines against pneumonia, such as pneumococcal vaccine and Haemophilus influenza type B vaccine, do not provide protection against the new coronavirus. The virus is so new and different that it needs its own vaccine. Researchers are working on this. They've already gone to human trials. And the lead time on that is still at 1 year out. I can pretty much guarantee you without any data and information and tell you that the richest people in the world are already vaccinated against COVID.
The special vaccine program?
Yes, they probably developed that vaccine prior to releasing it on the world.
Not good. Side note about the ethanol, just to be sure everyone's understanding this. This is not ethanol you get from the pump. Ethanol is the normal alcohol that's in your alcoholic drinks, but at a far lower level. And the gas station ethanol has gasoline mixed with it. So bad all around. So only drink correct bottled spirits from reputable dealers or beer.
Do not wash yourself with gasoline.
Right.
Even though it might kill the coronavirus, it's probably going to cause all sorts of other health problems.
Right. Many things that kill viruses can also kill humans, just so we're aware.
Can regularly rinsing your nose with saline help prevent infection with the new coronavirus? No. There is no evidence that regularly rinsing the nose with saline has protected people from infection with the new coronavirus. There's some limited evidence, however, that regularly rinsing the nose with saline can help people recover more quickly from the common cold.
Yes.
However, rinsing the nose regularly has not been shown to prevent respiratory infections. So there's a difference.
And neti pots can also give you a brain bacteria, amoeba. So I'd stay out of that.
Yes, I would encourage everybody to avoid neti pots. Some people do, and those people that I know that use them are at least smart enough to use distilled water.
Or boil your water for 5 to 10 minutes first, let it cool, and then do it.
Yes, you have to have a sterile neti pot as well as the water. A lot of people don't understand, Muskrat, that tap water has microorganisms and bacteria in it.
Yeah, especially nowadays. Now, the thing about – let's go back to a previous statement I made – about the beard. If you got Corona on your face, you've already lost. If it's in your nose, you've already lost. Swishing it out is not going to be what you need. You need to increase your immune system at that point. So just remember, if the bacteria or the virus has entered your nostrils, it's too late. You're either going to get it or you're not based on your immune system. Flushing it with salt water or anything else, moot point.
Damn right. Can eating garlic help prevent infection with the new coronavirus? So we already talked about this. The answer is no. Garlic is a healthy food, may have some antimicrobial properties, especially raw garlic. So folks understand that when you cook the garlic, you are rapidly diminishing that compound. It still has health properties because there is a lot of health benefit to garlic all around. But the antimicrobial property is actually associated with that burning that you get when you eat a raw garlic clove. Make you a little bit queasy for a minute, but that's just how you know it works.
Yeah.
Or conversely, you can just kind of mince it up and throw it on a salad and not have that icky feeling.
Right. And it might boost your immune system to help protect yourself, but we can't say that it's going to keep you from getting sick.
Does the new coronavirus affect older people or are younger people also susceptible? It's sad that we still have to go through this. People of all ages can be infected by the new coronavirus. Of course, the WHO does admit that older people and people with pre-existing medical conditions appear to be more vulnerable to becoming severely ill, but all people are advised to protect themselves from the virus and follow good hygienic practices.
Yes.
Are antibiotics effective in preventing and treating the new coronavirus? No, antibiotics do not work against viruses, only bacteria, thus the name antibiotic. The new coronavirus is a virus, and therefore antibiotics would not be used as a means of prevention or treatment. And doctors prescribing antibiotics for stupid shit like this is the reason we have, well, apart from 5G, obviously, and maybe even 4G to a lesser extent, drug-resistant or antibiotic-resistant strains of bacteria.
Yes. Yes. Now, that doesn't mean you won't get prescribed them if you end up seriously ill, because a total breakdown in the immune system might cause a bacterial infection as well. A lot of times they might just start giving you everything. So who knows?
Yeah, it's like a troubleshooting methodology I use in IT. It's sometimes if there's a massive problem, and everybody's kind of swarming around me wanting updates, I will delegate meaningless responsibilities to those people just to get them to leave me alone. And it works, folks. If you are in the IT organization and you are somebody that people come to you when there's problems and they're inhibiting your ability to triage, then give them a meaningless task to do and they will leave you alone for a while. It works like a charm.
Oh, geez.
Are there any specific medicines to prevent or treat the new coronavirus? To date, there is no specific medicine recommended to prevent or treat the new coronavirus, including fish tank cleaner. So the WHO is helping to accelerate research and development efforts with a range of partners. Only the richest people on the planet are immune. In fact, we don't know, Muskrat, if you know how much immunity we build up. So if we recover from the coronavirus, we don't know necessarily that the antibodies are sufficient to prevent reinfection.
That's what I'm
Moreover, is that we don't know if the immunity that we developed, assuming that we do develop an immunity, is going to be seasonal or even lifetime. Because some viruses, you develop immunity like chickenpox, and you don't get them again.
Right, as long as you're re-exposed. But now that less people are getting chickenpox, people are starting to get, you know, less immune. So I'm kind of annoyed at that. But this virus is actually related to SARS. But a side note here, a little known note here, SARS was so deadly that it burned itself out fast. This is not as deadly, so it's allowed to spread faster. So that's a problem because SARS was much more deadly. We don't really think of SARS that much. I mean, I remember when it came around and people were scared of flying and stuff like that, but it was more of an Asian issue because that's where it really tore up the population. That's also why Singapore and some of those other countries are so well adapted to locking this down. They interrogate people that have been in contact. They investigate and find out where they were, you know, who they were talking to, and they do a lot more research to try to prevent the spread. They were prepared for it more because they went through such a horrible situation with SARS and MERS. So this is actually like SARS. Some are calling it SARS 2 actually. So it's actually kind of scary if you think about it, a version of SARS that doesn't kill you as fast so that it can spread faster, but then still kill you. So that's not good. So I'm a little scared, but not, I mean, I'm a little freaked. I guess I'd say I'm a little freaked, but you know, I think I got it already. I don't think I'd be worried if I did, but you know, it's not, don't think of this as the flu. It really is worse than the flu because, you know, the flu happens every year. A lot of people die, but we don't have our hospitals clogged up like this. So it is different. And the people that die from the flu are usually the very weak. So that's what we need to realize. This is killing more than just the weak. It's killing people. They might have underlying health problems, but ones that would be able to survive the normal flu, but can't survive this. And it's really about that overreactive situation that happens with the lung cells and attacking the cells, causing the inflammation, causing basically a pneumonia caused by this hyper immune response. And in 1911, they have strong evidence that a similar immune response is what caused the death of all those people as well. Overreactive immune system to the infection. It spread so fast. It multiplied through the cells so quickly that when the immune response came, it just went nuts and just did like a, you know, scorched earth policy and, you know, like burn the, you know, pillage the villages and burn the farm fields of your own body. So, you know, our body can be its own worst enemy at times. So that's one of the reasons that healthy food and sunlight and stuff like that can help to regulate the immune system, because the immune system can cause a lot of damage if it goes nuts.
Yeah, so eat your fruits and vegetables.
Exactly. And get off that sugar.
Yeah, because I mean, look at it. Like anything that causes inflammation, it's just going to basically offset anything good that you're doing to it. So I mean, the way people eat, you know, I we're eating all these processed foods. You're putting more poison in your body than you're actually putting medicine. So I think that's the way people need to start looking at this. Is like you have the choice to eat medicine. And it's fascinating, honestly, if you start researching different types of fruits and vegetables and their chemical properties and what the benefits of these foods might be, you start to realize that you can alter your diet in subtle ways to try and respond to certain things or improve certain aspects of your life in different ways. Whereas conversely, you eat processed foods, you're just poisoning yourself. So why would you eat a bunch of sugar? You know, when you're trying to eat healthy, you're just offsetting that. You're causing inflammation. Inflammation is what causes chronic illnesses, cardiovascular disease, and things like that. We've talked at length about these things. So don't decide you're going to eat a bunch of fruits and vegetables and then just start hog wild drinking like a case of beer and, you know, ice cream and McDonald's like in a day. You know, you can't do that.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
So the origin of the coronavirus, another thing to maybe bring up here. They do believe that the coronavirus has a natural origin. But what they haven't officially figured out is how it went from the version of SARS-CoV-2 that bats have to how it went to humans. Because bats cannot transmit it directly to humans. They believe that there was an intermediate host. And the missing intermediate host, the scapegoat that they found, is the adorable little pangolin. He looks like a armadillo rat. He's got scales like an armadillo. He looks like a rat, like a squirrel. He's like a Asian squirrel with scales. He's awesome. But at some point, they believe that the bat infected the pangolin, and then the pangolin somehow infected a human. So I don't know what some dude was doing out in China, and I don't want to blame the Chinese. I'm not, you know, don't put the racist label on me. I'm just saying that this originated in Asia. There was a pangolin involved, supposedly, is what Science Daily and this medical study from March 26, which was what 4 days ago, is coming out with. It says right here, study refutes both ideas, that a scaly anteater-like animals called pangolins are the missing link for SARS-CoV-2 transmission between bats and humans. It refutes the idea that snakes, initially they postulated that snakes were the intermediate hosts.
That doesn't sound
And, that was one of the conclusions.
Yeah. And a pangolin.
Oh, and that a key coronavirus protein shares uncanny similarities with an HIV-1 protein. So that's been debunked.
Okay.
Although they are suggesting that some drugs that were manufactured to treat HIV are actually possible candidates for treatment for coronavirus. That came out several weeks ago.
I wouldn't trust that. Any antiviral drug, just so we are aware, can do a number on you. Now, does that mean that you should never use them? I don't know. I'm just saying that I personally would stay away myself, just because they usually block key biological functions that your cells use on a daily basis, which the viruses hijack. But I don't know if I would want to interrupt for therapeutic use. But, you know, to each their own.
Yes, if you have the capacity to think about how these viruses hijack cells and start using it for replication, and then what a drug would be required to do to stop that transmission, and then assume that it's probably not just affecting specific cells, you know, just the damaged one, it's probably having an effect on all your cells in your body. That's pretty scary.
Yeah. Yep. Like this, I think, attacks the ACE2. So, and I think we've already got drugs that do ACE2 inhibitors. I don't know. I will share my, I think I've used this twice in my life. Now, this is not condoned for anyone. Talk to your healthcare professional, which they would probably disavow this for sure. But there have been two times in my life that I've used alcohol to cure a sickness. There were two times I was sick with some sort of cold, flu. I don't know what it was. And it was the type of sickness where I wasn't fully anti-drinking. You know, sometimes you get sick and you're like, I don't want to fucking drink. That just doesn't sound good. It was the type of drink sickness where I felt like I could drink if I wanted to, but probably shouldn't. And it wouldn't go away. And I don't even know if I had medication for it and it still didn't go away or what. And it was just like this long drawn out cold or flu. And I might have already told the story on one of our podcasts, but you know, I'll tell it again and I'll probably tell it again after this. But what I decided to do on a weekend, I think, that I was hanging out, is I got totally loaded. And the theory was alcohol kills microorganisms. High doses of alcohol also kills our cells if it's, you know, strong enough. Our liver can process that. We've developed that, you know, weird ability to metabolize alcohol for some reason. But my theory was the alcohol will come in like napalm. It'll do damage to everything, but more damage to the foreign entities because they cannot metabolize alcohol. The human body can. And at the end of the day, I have the home field advantage. I have the factories that can rebuild myself. And so I came back stronger than ever. That worked twice for me.
So add it to the list of people we need to get on the show. We need to find a scientist employed by Big Alcohol who may know of some studies where this is actually verified.
This should be a study, like when you can't shake a cold, getting totally blitzed, and then just passing out and see if you can recover.
Yeah, I mean, probably all we have to do is write the alcohol industry, say, hey, we want to talk about the health benefits of alcohol. Can you send us some documentation or find us a health expert? By the way, for our trouble, send us a case of beer. And, you know, win-win. So
yeah, I can't remember what alcohol I was drinking at the time. I don't know if it was liquor, if it was beer, if it was wine. I have no idea. So we'd have to, you know, control for all those things. Yeah, but it worked twice. Only two times in my life I felt I've had the need to do this. I was out of options. I was just like, I don't know what the fuck this is. It's some sort of cold or flu. It won't go away. Of course, I wasn't eating as healthy back then either. But, you know, so we'd have to find someone that's, you know, living a more unhealthy lifestyle, you know, blah, blah, blah. And can the alcohol help? But not that it didn't do any damage to me. I'm just saying it did more damage to the foreign bodies. Anyways, that's just a side note. I don't think that'll work with Corona.
Nor is Packets and Bowls endorsing people to go out and get loaded every night as a way to combat the coronavirus or any other medical ailment.
No, don't do that. Having a drink when you're healthy, one drink can be therapeutic. Don't overdo it. And yeah, I think that I think those chimes are telling us that I think we're nearing the end of the hour here.
Oh, shit, it's the chimes.
So, March 30th, Monday, 2020, it's the Apocalypse 2020, Corona, COVID-19, packetsandbolts@gmail.com. Anything you want to add there, Mongoose?
No, stay the fuck at home.
Yeah, stay the fuck at home. Remember, keep packing those bolts. And until next time, see ya.
Real goat.